Battling climate change and climate misinformation all at the same time. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. So far, most of our conversations about disinformation have been about politics, the 2020 election, and during the pandemic, misleading posts about COVID-19 or the vaccine. Facebook and Twitter have gotten more aggressive about fact-checking, labeling, and even removing posts or accounts that misinform the public about those two topics. But now there's growing concern about climate misinformation, in some cases coming from a lot of the same sources, either denying that climate change is caused by humans, downplaying its impact, or spreading conspiracies about it. Erin McAweeney is a senior analyst at Graphica. She said the fracking discussion in last year's presidential debate and the 2020 wildfires both led to spikes.
Those pivotal moments create this drumbeat of climate misinformation that is spread not just from that core climate denial group, but from these adjacent groups. The QAnon groups, the conspiracy groups, and also the conservative groups converge around climate misinformation when all of their vested interests align. And It reaches such a farther audience than we would normally see this core climate denial group reach on a regular basis.
I mean, I can see where, from the platform point of view, it's a little tricky, potentially. You know, the election, for example, had a fixed date, and it's provable that it was, you know, not rigged. Hundreds of people are dying every week from COVID. The climate crisis is in some ways more diffuse to people. How, in your research, are platforms approaching this type of speech, and how kind of broad the misinformation can be?
There tend to be clearer motivations when we're talking about political disinformation, whether that's ushering in a certain candidate or undermining election results. It's easier to trace that thread back to what the ultimate end goal is. Whereas with climate misinformation and other types of science skepticism misinformation, it becomes a little less clear what that motivating factor is.
Which I would imagine makes it harder to know in some ways what to do about it. You know, for example, the Biden administration is coming in trying to take a more concrete action on climate policy. How could this mis and disinformation affect that agenda?
I will say, in this is a trend that we saw start in the beginning of the pandemic, and it's translated into climate misinformation. The type of misinformation that is spreading debunked science and working to undermine authoritative scientific sources has been around for a long time. And we've seen an uptake and an increase in this other type of mis or disinformation that spreads the narrative that there is sort of this more leftist authoritarian agenda that is working to undermine civil liberties. So we see this, for example, recently there was disinformation around Biden restricting red meat consumption, which is totally false. This was picked up by familiar climate denial influencers, but it also was framed by conservative influencers and Fox News as an example of this left-wing government overreach. And so I think this is a good example of a convergence of the climate and political misinformation. This type of mis and disinformation does start to impact the political conversation, right? Once these ideas are repeated over and over again. And of course, this narrative is also amplified in the COVID-19 space as well. That's why we see things, why we saw the anti-lockdown protests happening. So ultimately, I do think this sways the political conversation.
I wonder, I mean, you are describing such a thriving ecosystem of, you know, converging beliefs and this sort of like Venn diagram of identity. Is this even a social media problem at this point?
This all did exist before the internet. I think that's always a really good point. I think often the internet is used as a scapegoat, saying, you know, if we fix these things, we won't have disinformation or racism, or, you know, it's being amplified in the internet, and we just have to fix that. And I really appreciate the framing that this is bigger than the internet. I do think the internet allows this information, this misinformation to travel faster. And I do think it's used as a tactic often by climate denial influencers. So by that, I mean that it's becoming increasingly harder to argue with climate science. And the tactics that are used by these climate denial accounts are essentially to create a false equivalency. They want to appear like they have outsized support because their views are becoming increasingly outdated and increasingly an affront to authoritative science. So by creating these online platforms, it gives them more legitimacy and it gives them more authority in a arena in which they otherwise would not have a voice. It would be largely overwhelmed by pro-environmental and pro-science views. So I do think that while this exists outside of the internet is absolutely being used as a tool to push and amplify anti-environmentalism and climate and science skepticism views.
Is this a perfect example of a case where Facebook or Twitter does not have to be the arbiter of what's true, but they can take their technology off of the table and not give this misinformation an artificial boost?
Yeah, absolutely. After the sort of large QAnon takedowns that we saw after January 6th, in our climate network, there was about like a 70% decrease in QAnon accounts just in that network alone. You know, I think that that type of deplatforming can be incredibly effective. We're not necessarily going to remove these influencers completely and that anti-science sentiment will be there, but at least it will hinder that appearance that this is a legitimate and widely accepted view.
Aaron McAweeney is a senior analyst at Graphica. Facebook says climate change misinformation is a, quote, very low percentage of overall misinformation on the platform. And now for some related links. USA Today reported last week on research from a group called Advance Democracy. It said there are hundreds of thousands of posts denying climate change across social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and they frequently don't have warning labels or links to credible content. And experts say in some cases, the misinformation is being instigated by fossil fuel interests. There's also apparently a grand conspiracy theory about something called a grand solar minimum, when the sun gives off less energy and boom, global warming will stop. I mention this only so that if you see it, you can be appropriately suspicious. Most recently, researchers say the Texas blackouts generated waves of disinformation. USA Today pointed out that at a congressional hearing in March, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said it wasn't treating climate misinformation the same way as COVID because it didn't have the potential to cause, quote, imminent harm. But in this case, let's also keep our eyes on YouTube, where one channel about this grand solar minimum thingy had almost 5 million views. And weirdly, YouTube CEO has never testified in front of Congress about any of this stuff. What's that about? And friends, I want to give you a little update so you're not surprised when you don't hear me for a little while. I'm going to be off the show for the next couple of months for a very exciting reporting project that I'm super excited to share details about later this summer. Don't worry, I will still pop back on if there's big news or I just can't help myself. You will hear me on Make Me Smart, and I know you'll be in great hands with our wonderful reporters who are kind enough to fill in for me over the summer. In the meantime, I'll see you on the internet. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.